21st, it's been just over a month since the death of legendary Black and Bahamian American actor Sidney Poitier. We wanted to talk about his significance along with other Black actors and directors who came before and after him, and about the ways that Blackness, race, and civil rights issues have been portrayed on film over the years. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of the work of Sidney Poitier? Do you have a favorite movie role that you'd like to bring up? What do you remember from the first time you saw it? And what questions or thoughts do you have about how Hollywood has given or not given opportunities for Black actors and directors to work over the years? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Artel Great is the George and Judy Marcus Endowed Chair in African American Cinema Studies and Assistant Professor of Critical Studies at the San Francisco State University School of Cinema. Artel, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, Rob, glad to be here. Thanks for having me back.
Let's start with the passing of Sidney Poitier. That's what started us thinking about bringing you back onto the show. Can you talk about his career and some of its highlights?
Sure, absolutely. You know, I think it's interesting. Sidney Poitier, without a doubt, was the most important Black actor of the 1950s and 60s. I would say, in fact, he was probably the second most important actor of the entire 20th century after only Marlon Brando. He didn't just open doors. You know, Sidney Poitier blew the doors off the hinges, okay? He was literally, before his arrival, the roles that were created for Black actors were really, really limited. In fact, prior to the arrival of Sidney Poitier, Black actors were, in Hollywood, were really relegated to the margins, and it was pretty bad. I mean, I would say that, if they were not excluded altogether, you had, Black characters being portrayed by white actors, wearing this kind of grotesque blackface makeup as a form of minstrelsy to, really degrade Black people. Or if Black actors were actually hired, prior to his arrival, they were really limited in terms of being confined to portraying really regressive and ultimately demeaning roles as like servants or characters who were enslaved on plantations. And these depictions over time were just so toxic. I mean, just very, very toxic. And I think they really worked to crystallize this kind of false image of what Black Americans were. And this encouraged in our society the treatment of Black people as less than full citizens. And I think that, sadly, this still haunts us. These toxic images still haunt the social psychology of Hollywood and America at large. And from within that kind of racial system emerges Sidney Poitier, and he comes with this dignity. He emerges with this pride and this kind of regal essence that speaks to not only his kind of presence, but his power and his ability to transcend so many kind of racial issues in this country.
Here's a listen of it, to Poitier in the 1967 movie In the Heat of the Night. He's a detective here. He and a white police officer, Gillespie, are visiting a potential suspect, a Mr. Endicott.
Let me understand this. You two came here to question me?
Well, your attitudes, Mr. Endicott, your points of view are a matter of record. Some people, well, let us say the people who work for Mr. Colbert might reasonably regard you as the person least likely to mourn his passing. We were just trying to clarify some of the evidence. Was Mr. Colbert ever in this greenhouse, say, last night about midnight?
Gillespie, yeah, you saw it.
I saw it.
But what are you gonna do about it?
I don't know.
I'll remember that. There was a time when I could have had you shot.
In the heat of the night there with Sidney Poitier. Artel, can you talk about In the Heat of the Night? One of the, I think when people think back of memorable Sidney Poitier high-profile movies, one of the big ones.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this film was explosive and hugely important. So, you know, you have to understand, like, this is 1967 In the Heat of the Night comes out, and Poitier is delivering this kind of spectacular performance as Detective Virgil Tibbs, who is a homicide detective from Philly. You know, he's from Philadelphia, and he's traveling down to Mississippi to visit his mom, right? But when he arrives in this town, there's a murder that takes place, and, you know, Tibbs ends up helping this kind of local, inept police department kind of solve this crime. And so in the clip that you just played, it actually is Poitier's character questioning Mr. Endicott, who is this old kind of rich, racist white guy. And he literally, you can hear it in the clip, he slaps Tibbs in the face, mm-hmm. you know, for questioning, you know, him. Like, how dare you, you know, question a white man in Mississippi in 1967, right? And Tibbs immediately, you hear it in the clip, he slaps him right back. Now, this was amazing, like literally amazing. And it's critical because the Poitier kind of retaliation slap was not written into the script at all, right? That wasn't in the script. That was Poitier's idea. And the studio, they didn't want him to do that. You know, they did not want him to do it, but he was able, because he was such a big star at that time, he was able to leverage his star power. And he really insisted, like, no, my character is going to respond to this man accordingly. And so they had to permit him to, you know, respond in that way. And this occurs at a moment, you know, that is like the very beginning of the Black Power struggle. And we start to see this become this important symbolic moment, not just in Black film, but in cinema, you know, broadly speaking. And this scene becomes known, you know, as the slap heard around the world.
Talking to Artel Grade from the San Francisco State University School of Cinema, looking at, so far we've been talking about Sidney Poitier, looking at wider issues of the roles Black actors and directors had in the movie industry. You can join in with your thoughts, your memories, or questions at 800-642-1234. Artel, earlier you mentioned, before Sidney Poitier, not a wide variety of roles in Hollywood movies for Black actors. I know last time I talked to you, you want to make sure we don't forget that there was a lot of other cinema here in the United States, often made by Black directors featuring Black actors, that you hope we don't lose sight of.
Oh, that's absolutely correct. I mean, there's a 125-year history of filmmaking that exists of Black people really engaging in cinema as this kind of recuperative project, you know, as far back as, you know, the late 1890s, when cinema is first invented. You know, Black people are really at the forefront and the vanguard of innovating this medium and really pushing the boundaries forward. You know, there are directors, there are women, you know, who are working as entrepreneurs, who are helping, you know, develop distribution networks for cinema. And this is all happening before there's even an inkling of a foundation of a Hollywood studio, right? The first Black studio was created in 1910 by a man named William D. Foster in the city of Chicago, actually in the Midwest. It was called the Foster Photoplay Company. And this was the very first kind of successful Black film studio. It was founded really 5 years before the first Hollywood studio was ever founded, which was Universal Pictures in 1915. So, you know, when you think about it, we talk about Sidney Poitier. Well, what we're talking about in terms of his ability to kind of, you know, move the needle. Well, I like to use a sports analogy and say, like, Sidney Poitier was like the Jackie Robinson, right, of Hollywood film. I mean, that's an interesting parallel because he was respected, but he was also a complicated figure who was a symbol in terms of both the Black community, but Poitier was also a symbol in terms of the white imagination, where his characters, you know, that he portrayed represented, you know, assimilation and the politics of integration, because all of this is happening, you know, during the Cold War period of America. So it's a very kind of complicated range of experiences that Black contributions in cinema really speak to. And Sidney Poitier is an element of that, but he is an element that is kind of really rooted in the mainstream apparatus of cinema itself and the characters that he was actually allowed to portray during the early part of his career marked this kind of very sanitized version, right, of a Black, you know, person in America, you know, this very sanitized white imagined image of Black American experience.
Talking to Artel, great African-American film historian from San Francisco State University. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about how civil rights issues have been? What do you think about how civil rights issues have been portrayed in movies, big or small? Are there titles that come to mind for you? Do you see more roles for Black actors and directors out there? Do you think things like the Oscars need to pay more attention? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Verrett. We're picking up our talk with Artel Great, Chair of African American Cinema Studies, Assistant Professor of Critical Studies at San Francisco State University's School of Cinema, talking about, so far, the legacy of Sidney Poitier and some of the history of the opportunities that Hollywood and independent films have and haven't given actors and directors of color. You could join in if you have thoughts at 800-642-1234 or questions, 800-642-1234. Artel, you suggested a clip to us from a 1973 film, The Spook Who Sat by the Door. Before we give it a listen, can you set up what we're going to hear?
Sure. Well, this film is an independent film made in America, directed by Ivan Dixon, who is probably, you know, most well known for his role in the television series Hogan's Heroes. But the film is actually an adaptation of a protest novel by the writer Sam Greenlee. And in the film, the protagonist is a man named Dan Freeman, right? Free man, right? And he is this kind of seemingly passive Black character who manages to become the first Black person to work for the Central Intelligence Agency, right? And he works there for a number of years before he leaves the agency and returns home to the city of Chicago, where he uses his knowledge that he learned in the agency to help affect change in his community.
All right, here's a listen to a part of The Spook Who Sat by the Door.
Get your education, boy, she used to say. Because that's the only thing the white man can't take away from you. And she was right.
You know, I can't figure you, man.
What's the figure?
I mean, what are you in this for? You want power, you want revenge, you know? What is it?
It's simple, Willie. I just want to be free. How about you?
So do I.
And I hate white folks. Hate white folks. This is not about hate white folks. It's about loving freedom enough to die or kill for it if necessary. Now you're gonna need more than hate to sustain you when this thing begins. Now if you feel that way, you're no good to us and you're no good to yourself.
Artel, I have not, I'll be honest, I haven't seen this movie. Make the case that we should go and find it and check it out.
Oh, it's not a surprise, Rob, let me tell you. It's not a surprise that you haven't seen this film, right? This film was, in fact, actively, ultimately banned in the United States, you know, in the early part of the 1970s. The film manages to capture the tensions and the, you know, real social turbulence that is taking place in the nation during that time, you know, as like the tail end of the civil rights movement, entering into the Black arts and the Black power movement. And it directly tackles, you know, issues of class and race through these characters. And this one particular character, you know, Dan Freeman, manages to infiltrate the Central Intelligence Agency, and he uses his knowledge, you know, to awaken kind of critical Black consciousness in the city of Chicago, where he actually is able to mobilize, you know, the street gangs and turn them into freedom fighters against oppression. So, you know, this film is very powerful, and it was ultimately banned by the FBI, where they literally deployed agents to theaters and demanded that the film be removed. So the fact that you haven't seen the film is not surprising at all. It was actually actively repressed.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Susie is with us in Williams Bay. Susie, hi.
Hi there. I just wanted to say that In the Heat of the Night is one of my favorite movies of all time. And another movie that comes to mind is Blazing Saddles. Just the fact that the Black sheriff was really poking fun at stupid racist white people in that movie.
Susie, thanks for the call. Not by a Black filmmaker, is a Mel Brooks movie. I believe he brought in Richard Pryor to help write for Cleavon Little as the star of Blazing Saddles, if I'm not mistaken. But some very frank talk about race in that one, Artel.
Yeah, no, it's a very interesting film. And Richard Pryor was, you know, a co-writer of the screenplay of that. And he actually was supposed to play the role of Cleavon Little, but he was so mercurial, you know, during this period that the studio was like, you know, no, we don't want to come near, you know, him for that particular role. But, you know, what's interesting from that caller in regards to Blazing Saddle is that that film was a Western. And it made me think about, and a lot of people don't know this, but to tie it to Portier, as she mentioned her, you know, kind of favorite film being In the Heat of the Night. Well, a lot of people don't know that Portier started to face a lot of criticism in his career toward the end of the 1960s, particularly from people who felt that, you know, the roles that he was playing were really safe for the consumption of white audiences, where he was playing this likable kind of Black figure who was really sanitized. So as he started to take control of his own image, he decided he wanted to step behind the camera and actually start to direct. And he directs his first feature film in 1972. And that film is called Buck and the Preacher, and it stars Portier, Harry Belafonte, and Ruby Dee. And this is important because the first film he chooses to direct on his own is a Western, right? A Black Western. So of all the genres he could have made, why did he want to make a Western? Well, he wanted to make a Western because it's a deeply historicized genre, and he understood that the industry itself had historically, you know, erased the contributions of Black people as cowboys in Western films, you know? So this idea of what does a Western look like, or what does a cowboy look like in Hollywood? Well, they look like John Wayne. You know, they don't look like Sidney Poitier. And that is because the Western genre is fundamentally tied to this idea of this quintessential American genre. Right. This is the genre that really kind of sets up frontier expansion and understands like how we came to be Americans. But, you know, in the 19th century, like one out of every four cowboys was Black. Right. But in Hollywood, you don't see that represented. And so Portier chose to actually use his first film as a director to bring light to this hidden history. And it even, you know, reminds me of the word cowboy itself, right? Which should be interrogated, I would say, because it actually originates from a pejorative term for Black ranch hands, right? Perpetuating this kind of racialized practice of calling Black men boys. So they were called cowboys as opposed to ranch hands, right? Or cattlemen, like their white counterparts were called.
I want to take a couple minutes, Artel. You are a director and an actor yourself. You have a film project called The Love Cycle, I understand currently in progress, addressing Black life and relationships. You study this a lot. What kind of things does that make you think about as you're acting and directing in your own work?
Wow. Well, I think about, you know, really honoring the nuances and rhythms, right, of Black life. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking deeply about how I can create work that embodies the full weight and complexity of what it means to be in a Black American, particularly given the kind of overall fascination with Black pain and suffering. You know, my work with the Love Cycle films is really about how do I recalibrate the national conversation around Black lives by focusing on love, you know, and joy, as opposed to, you know, pain and Black trauma, right? This is my kind of way of making an intervention and, you know, really reimagining the cultural politics of cinema in a way that's, you know, not only expanding the iconography of Black, you know, images, but pushing the boundaries of what Black film can be and what that can look like. And doing so in a way that, like I said, embodies the full weight and complexity and the nuance and the interior life of Black Americans. Because nuance and complexity are important. Black people are multi-layered individuals. You know, they are not one-dimensional. You know, they are not one-dimensional characters. And many people in Black communities are really yearning to see themselves in a multi-dimensional way on screen, in a way that's entertaining, but also political and poetic. And that's what I'm doing.
Artel, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Hey, Rob, appreciate you having me.
Artel Great is the George and Judy Marcus Endowed Chair in African American Cinema Studies, Assistant Professor of Critical Studies at the San Francisco State University School of Cinema. He talked with us about actor and director Sidney Poitier, who passed away last month, and how civil rights issues and the Black experience have been portrayed on film over the years.